1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 to 13. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.
Hello, everyone. Let's pray together as we come and reflect on God's word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these amazing prayers in the passage we've just had read for us. And Lord, we do ask that you would make our love increase and overflow for one another and for everyone else. Lord, we want to pray even now as we gather this morning with so much in the news about, Lord, just the challenges around the world. We think again of just the situation in the US, Lord, with the riots and tensions after the death of George Floyd. God, please, would you bring your justice, Lord, your peace, your reconciliation. Lord, we pray for our friends in Atlanta at New Hope Baptist Church. Lord, be with them as they worship you and try and live for you at this time in that place. And God, we pray too for us here. Lord, that in our city, you would help us to live for you and love you and one another, that you would help us as, Lord, lockdown is eased in different ways. God, I pray that we would just be led of your Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us now. Help us, help our city, help our nation and our government, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as half term comes to an end, perhaps you are a parent and you're anticipating homeschool go on for many of your kids. I know a few are going back tomorrow and I really hope it goes well for you, but many are still at home. And perhaps you're wondering as a parent or as a kid, maybe how long can I keep going with this homeschooling or school at home? I wonder if you're maybe a grandparent and you're thinking as well, how long can I go on without hugging my grandkids? You might be able to see them soon. Maybe you've already had a chance to just meet up with one of them, but maybe you're wondering, kind of, how long can I keep going in this way? But maybe you're thinking about your work situation at the moment. And for you, the issue is more, you know, how long can I keep living with this uncertainty at work? Or maybe it's great pressure, or maybe you're furloughed and you just don't quite know what the future is going to hold. And you think, God, how can I keep going like this? Well, this morning, I want to talk about power to keep going, power to keep going. Whatever challenge you're facing in your life right now, there is power to keep going. You know, one of the most enduring symbols of kind of keeping on going that I was remembering as I was preparing this message is the Energizer Bunny, that pink bunny that just seems to keep going because it's got the right power inside of it that someone's placed there so that when others are kind of fading, the Energizer Bunny just keeps on going. And, you know, in these days, it can seem like just kind of getting through them is a win. And in some ways, just surviving and staying sane is a win in these days. They have been very challenging in different ways for so many. But the passage we're looking at this morning is not just kind of a speaking of us kind of just surviving or getting through or kind of making it through each day. It's talking about our love increasing and overflowing. It's talking about a power that can strengthen our hearts so that we can be holy and blameless when Jesus Christ returns. And it's those two prayers at the very end of our passage that I want to particularly dig in this morning on this Pentecost Sunday, as we think about a power that God has put inside of us that is far greater than any Energizer batteries, but is enabling us to keep loving and keep going and keep overflowing with love and keep having our hearts strengthened as we live for him. So I want to talk firstly this morning about power to increase your love. Power to increase your love. You know, verse 12 says this. It says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as our love does for you." I've been praying that prayer a lot for us as a church family in these past days as I've been preparing this message. And my hope and prayer is that as we dig into this passage, it would help us do just that, and that God would put his power in our hearts to increase my love and your love, our love for each other and for everyone else. I've been really inspired by Paul's love for the Thessalonians. It's a love that led him to long to see them. And I want to say I'm just longing to see so many of you. I've had the joy around this area where I live, where many of my community live as well, of often bumping into people from my community, and have even managed to begin arranging to kind of meet up with one or two of them at different points. And, you know, there's something very special about having a longing to see people. One of the people I bumped into was Adrian. And I said, "Adrian, I give you a shout out." There you go. Hi, Adrian. I know you're watching this as well as I know many others from our community. But, you know, one of the things about Paul is he longed to see them. So he actually thought about how can I get news from them? And he sent Timothy. And Timothy came back with this encouraging report. It says in verse 6 that he's come to back. Timothy's arrived back and brought a good news about your faith and love. And then he goes on and says this in verse 7. "Brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith." You know, when you love people, you're concerned about their faith. You see, faith is one of the most precious things we have. Faith is what actually helps bring new life into our hearts and hope, no matter what we're going through. And I want to ask this morning, how is your faith? How is your faith? You know, one of the reasons Paul sent Timothy was back in verse 5 in the previous passage. We say this. He said, "When I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless." You see, we have an enemy, the tempter, and he is working to try and undermine and destroy your faith and my faith. He's planning and scheming at it even now. I wonder, how is the enemy trying to undermine your faith at the moment? Maybe it's through fear or discouragement. Maybe it's through trying to get you watching things that are going to be unhelpful to your faith. Maybe it's by putting kind of selfish longings in your heart rather than loving desires. Maybe it's pride as you think about the way you're living your life compared to others around you. Whatever way the tempter is trying to undermine your faith, I encourage you, resist him. His ways are full of lies. And actually, one of the things we see in this passage is that God is able to work in our hearts in such a way to help us grow and increase in love. And he gives us some wonderful things. He gives us his word. He gives us one another to encourage each other. And as I was studying this passage, read a really helpful commentary by John Stott, a great student of God's word. And he says this in his commentary on Thessalonians. He said, if finally we ask how we may develop this double commitment to God's word and God's church, this balanced combination of truth and love, there is only one possible answer, namely by the power of the Holy Spirit. Since he is the source of both, he is the Spirit of truth, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. You see, it's the power of God's Spirit at work in our lives. This power God puts inside of us, far greater than any energizer battery, that gives us power to love. Power that works in kind of two ways. It's a power because it helps us know that we are loved, and it's power that helps us also to love, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we see that love outworked in the a bit more of this passage, as Paul in verse 8, 9 and 10, he talks about how thankful he is for how well the Thessalonians are doing. He talks about the joy he has in them, and he talks about how he's praying for them. You know, it's a great thing to pray. He says, I pray night and day most earnestly, and I encourage you, pray for your kids or your family or your community, pray for your church and your neighbors, pray morning, pray evening, pray and cry out to God that he would work in their lives. It's a powerful thing when someone simply prays for you and says they are praying for you. I know we've had that and experienced that, and we're so thankful for it. People just sending messages or practical ways that they've shown that. And I know that's been happening across the city, but here's just one way we wanted to send people kind of practical message of love and prayer. We've done a little video. Here it is. Thanks, Ben.
To those in the NHS,
we send you our love.
To those who are unwell, we send our love.
To those who are furloughed, we send you our love.
To those of you abroad, elsewhere, or separated from those that you love, we send you our love.
To those who are our teachers, we send you our love.
To those who are facing exams or the absence of school, we send you our love.
To all the children, we send our love.
Thanks to those who put that video together. And I do want to just send to all of you my love. And I'm praying for you and praying that the Lord may make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. And did you notice that it's the prayer that the Lord would do that he would put that power of his Holy Spirit in our hearts? But Paul goes on in verse 13 and prays another amazing thing. Look what he says. He says, may he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with his holy ones. I want to talk secondly and lastly just about power to strengthen your heart. Power to strengthen your heart. You know, we know that a strong heart is actually far more important than having just strong arms or strong legs, great as those may be. In fact, with the coronavirus and how that's been spreading and the warnings about underlying health conditions, we know one of the serious underlying health conditions can be having heart problems. But that's true not just physically, but spiritually. In the Proverbs, we read that above all, we should guard our heart because it's the wellspring of life. From it, everything flows. You can read about that in Proverbs 4:23. And you know, The Bible is really serious about how important our heart is. So I want to ask you this morning, how is your heart? How is your heart? Do you need God to strengthen your heart today? Well, one of the things that God loves to do and wants to do, and I'm praying that he would do for us, is that he would strengthen our heart for the purpose that we would be blameless and holy. You know, there are all kinds of things in our world which lead our hearts away from God, which lead our hearts to things that are unholy, that are going to actually lead us to turn our hearts away from God and towards other things. And in fact, a word holy literally means that we are set apart from some things and for other things. In fact, for someone, that our hearts would turn away from idols and turn to the true and living God, as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And again, the Holy Spirit helps us here, because the Holy Spirit convicts us where our lives are unholy, where we're doing things that are unloving and don't please God. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just convict us, but the Holy Spirit is the power that God puts in us to live a godly life. And love the way Peter writes in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, and he says this, he says, his divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. What a great promise. Let me read that again. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So the Holy Spirit comes and is God's power to convict us. And when he convicts us, turn from the thing he's convicting you of. And then hits his power to help us. But also the Holy Spirit, wonderfully, is God's power at work as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. In Ephesians, we read these amazing words about how the Holy Spirit is a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come in terms of our eternal life in God. In Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, and when you also heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. You know, this is so helpful because we haven't yet come to that place where Jesus has returned and all sin is gone and there's no more sin and suffering in our world. We live in this kind of now and not yet between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. And in this time, it's so easy to be discouraged, or the enemy trying to accuse us for the areas of unholiness in our life. And we can sometimes simply just try harder to be more holy. But actually, psychologists say that far better than just leaning into willpower to resist temptation is actually to lean into our identity. And our identity is that we are children of God. God's put his Spirit in us. And we're going to be talking more about that next week. Do tune in to the live stream next week as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But in this passage, Paul prays that God would strengthen our hearts so that we would be holy, that we would be who Jesus, in what he's done for us, has made us to be. Because we are made holy not by what we have ultimately done, but by what Jesus has done for us on the cross. You see, none of us, not me, not you, is fully blameless and holy. We were made to be that, but we turned our back on God. We went after other things. But Jesus came to remake us, to save us, to be holy. He came, the Holy One, to die for us, the unholy ones. He came and took my sin and took your sin when he died on the cross, taking our guilt. In fact, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21 these amazing words. It says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. God took our sin to make us holy. So let's be who God made us to be. You know, Jesus came that first time to save, but he's coming back to finish that work, to remove all sin and suffering in our world. He's coming, and the Spirit is now being poured out so that he can help us live those holy lives. He can help us know his love and share his love with others, that he can put that power within us far greater than any Energizer bunny battery, and power to increase your love and my love, power to strengthen our hearts that we would be the people he saved us and made us to be. So how do we receive that Spirit? Well, we receive the Spirit as we heard in that Pentecost story from Peter's first message on Pentecost. We receive the Spirit as we repent, as we turn from our sin and turn to God. Repent this morning. And Peter added in that Pentecost message, repent and be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, then I encourage you, use the Connect form and ask to be baptized or to find out more about it. We had someone a few weeks back do that, and I'm really looking forward to when we can do a baptism in the sea and maybe do a kind of outdoor service in some way, which I think will be something we're able to do before we're able to kind of gather back in the building. You know, repent and be baptized, and then as we're baptized, we express our belief. And even again today, as you repent, believe that Jesus Christ died for you and for me. He died so that we can be forgiven, our slate could be wiped clean, and we could have a new start. But not just a start where we're kind of back to normal, but then receive the gift of his Spirit, a gift that empowers us to live as he wants us to live, to love as he wants us to love. And I would love to lead us in a prayer right now to repent, to believe, and to receive. Let's turn to Christ as we bow our heads and pray. And you might want to echo this prayer in your heart. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I repent and turn from all that I know is wrong. Just in your heart right now, there might be something specific that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. Turn from it. Turn to Jesus. And then, Lord, we believe. Lord Jesus, I believe in you, that you died for me, that I could be forgiven and have a fresh start and a new life in you. And, Lord Jesus, I receive. I receive your forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. Please increase our love so that it overflows and strengthens our hearts, and that we might be blameless and holy when you, Lord Jesus, come again. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Come, we pray. Amen.